KSIV now presents Encounter, a public service program of Bot Radio Network, dedicated to keeping you informed about the issues that affect your life. Now, here's today's Encounter broadcast.
Hi, I'm Judy Redlick, and this is Encounter. Do you love music? You're going to love this show if you do, because I have two people that are in the St. Louis Symphony. They've done music all their lives, and we're going to talk to them about music. What music means to them, what can it mean to you, how they got involved, and how you can be a light in the darkness in your workplace, no matter what your occupation. John and Paula Kasica are my guests today, and I've been looking so forward to doing this show for you because one of my greatest loves is music.
Hi, Judy. It's a pleasure for Paula and I to be here today, and
yes,
we're just thrilled to be able to share with everyone our gifts and our life experience, and hopefully everyone will be encouraged.
Many of our listeners might have heard you play at the symphony, and they might know your background because you have a group called Arts Fellowship as well, and you've been around this area pretty much of your lives, haven't you?
Yes. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your background, how you met, you know, the fun stuff that people always love to hear.
Well, I was at the Juilliard School, and I got the job in St. Louis. And that summer, I went to the Aspen Music Festival. And I went to a church in the morning, and there was a stained glass window with the sun shining through it. And the light beam hit on this blonde girl who was sitting in the back row with her parents, and the fireworks went off. I thought, I have to meet her. So we met at the Aspen Music Festival. And long story short, we were married 2 years later. And then I've been in the symphony for 45 years. And we've been married for 44.
Wow.
So,
amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And then and I played in the symphony for 5 years. And then I came to Jesus Christ and made him Lord and Savior of my life 38 years ago.
Wow.
And during that time, we felt the Lord impress upon us that we were to start an arts group that would be centering Jesus Christ with different artists to come together and talk about what it means to be a Christian in the arts.
That is so important, because I know a lot of people think I have to give up my talents when I become a Christian. I used to be a folk singer when I got out of college, and I went out to Oregon to seek my fame and fortune for a year. And a little old lady told me, hey, Jesus loves you for who you are and not who you should be. And that freaked me out. It got me thinking, and I soon accepted Christ as my Savior. But then when I did, I had to stop singing Peter, Paul, and Mary, and Simon, Garfunkel, and all those songs. I thought, so I laid them down and started singing Paul Clark and The Outlaw, some of those Christian songs that were popular in the 70s. And then I went on, and I kind of forgot about the secular music scene and started listening to Christian radio and all that. So talk a little bit about that whole deal. You know, when you became a Christian, did you put down some of the secular music that you were in love with, or what did you do?
Well, one of the first things that we did when we became Christians was we said, Jesus, we want you to be our manager, and we want to give what we do to you. Now, we didn't really understand what that meant at the time, but he gives us the ability to play music, and we can choose to just play Christian music, or we can choose to be expressive in everything that we do. And that's what we chose. We said, God, you just lead us to what you want us to do, and we'll do it.
So when I found out that Jesus was real, when he revealed himself to me, and Paul also, you know, the first thing I wanted to do was leave the St. Louis Symphony and go full-time ministry. And our pastor said, no, John, a pastor can't get his foot in that door. But God wants you to be in the symphony so that you can let the light of God shine in that place. And I've been there ever since.
That is really amazing. And if you've ever heard John or seen him at the symphony, he plays anything you can bang on and calls it percussion.
He does that at home, too.
Oh, he does? He bangs on the refrigerator and the microwave, and all of a sudden your glasses shatter. Is that true? Well, let me see how this sounds. Ping.
Right. Well, you can, if you haven't got any drums around, you could always play what's ever in the room. And you start in the kitchen. There's plenty of great sounds in there.
So if you have little kids, what can you do to start them out in music to see what kind of musical talent they have?
Well, I think percussion is easy to start with because it's really easy to just pick up a pair of sticks and just play on something.
Like the pot lids.
Yeah. And a famous quote, somebody said, the first thing a child hears is the beat of his mother's heart.
Hmm.
I thought, isn't that sweet? So, yeah, children are really open to being able to learn, especially when they're little. But what we've found is that rather than try to mold and shape them into something that you hope they might be, that the trick is for you to be able to discover what the child is absolutely thrilled about and loves to do, and then create an environment for that to be shaped and molded and encouraged. And so the balance of those two things is part of the challenge of parenting. But we found that when a child is really excited and thrilled and would love to practice something, it's a sign that that might be something they'd like to try to learn to play.
Right. Wow. Awesome. You know, I got us totally off track, guys. We went from percussion to banging on pots with your children. So let's go back. We were talking a little bit about shining your light in the workplace. Don't worry. We're going to get back to this whole kid thing. So stay tuned. This is Encounter. I'm Judy Redlich, and John and Paula Kasica are my guests. They both belong to the St. Louis Symphony. John's been working there 45 years. Paula, how long have you been in the symphony?
I'm actually just an extra. I play if they need me, I would go. But I teach at Webster University and University of Missouri and play in a lot of different places, but I'm not an official person in the symphony.
And you play, your main expertise is your flute.
Yes, yes.
Your flute. And she plays a great flute. It's so soothing, so soothing. Let's go back to shining your light in the workplace. I'm sure that you have lots of occasion to be challenged in that area, John. Can you give people some tips or maybe give an example about how you might have been challenged and how God showed you how to be a light in the darkness?
Well, a key scripture for me is in 2 Corinthians 3:17, and it says this, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And I found that in my intimacy time with the Lord, the time of being still, the time of worship, the time of reading the Word, the time of praying, the time of waiting on him and just being still and allow him to be God and reveal himself to me, that the change and transformation that takes place as a result of that quiet time and that intimacy, you carry that everywhere you go. So Paul and I both probably spend at least a half hour in just not only praying and reading the Word, but also just worshiping and being still and allowing us to change by being in his presence that way. And I found that through that intimacy, everything flows. And it's easy to be the light when you've been in the light as a lifestyle daily. And you renew your mind daily in the Word, and you renew your relationship with him daily in the intimate place.
I was just going to say that you can't bring something to someone unless you've already got it.
Ooh, you can't bring something to someone unless you've already got it.
So when you have the light, when you spend time in his presence and renew that relationship with him, then you have something to bring. When you are loved by him, then you have something to share. But you can't bring love unless you've already received it.
And he loves you for who you are.
Exactly.
And not who you should be. And as you dig into his word and you pray and you just sit still before him, he's going to help you come closer to who he wants you to ultimately be.
Exactly.
I think identity is something we all struggled with. At first, your identity is you're in the St. Louis Symphony and you play percussion or you're a flute player. And if you played well, you were a good person. And if you played badly, you're a bad person. And we came to realize it didn't have anything to do with what we do. It had to do everything about who God made us to be. And that identity came about through intimacy with him. Mm-hmm. How he revealed through his heart and through his mind and through his word and through this time with him who he's made us to be first. And out of that relationship, he'll send us out to do what he's called us to be.
Can you tell me a story of someone whose life has been changed because of your light shining in the darkness in their life?
I can think of a particular situation with a student. And this student was very confrontational with me, and which is not usually how to have a good relationship with a student. And I decided that I was going to take a different approach because my husband said to me, "Have you tried loving her?" Which I had not. And so the next lesson came, and I just took on a different approach. I tried thinking about who she was and that she was God's child and that there was treasure inside of her that I could unlock. And when I changed my attitude towards her, then it changed the whole relationship.
Wow. God's got a plan, doesn't he?
Yes.
Well, I'm Judy Redlick. This is Encounter. John and Paula Kasica are my guests today. Excellent professional musicians. Paula's a flutist. She also teaches at Webster University. John is a full-time at the symphony, St. Louis Symphony, and he's a percussionist. And as Paula says, he hits everything he can to make his talent ring. So we're going to be right back after this break, and we're going to talk a little bit about music in general, your children, your family, how it could and does change your life. Hi, I'm Judy Redlick, and this is segment two of Encounter. Do you hear that great music in the background? Well, we have John and Paula Kasica with us today, providing this wonderful music. John has been in the symphony for 45 years, playing percussion. Paula is an extra in the symphony, playing the flute. Wow, turn that up just for a few more seconds there before we go back and talk to them. Is a great, great piece. I'd like to hear the rest of it, but John and Paul are here, and we're going to talk about music, the talent, the importance of, first of all, finding out if you have the musical ability. How do you find that out? Maybe you have children and you're thinking, what can my child do? Am I going to take them into the sports arena, which often happens, it seems like, more readily than taking them into the music arena?
Well, children are so flexible and open to things. And from the age of 1 to 5, both sides of their brain are being developed, the side of imagination and creativity and the other side of reason and thinking. And in a balanced upbringing, hopefully they're involved with both. So sports can be very creative, and the uniqueness of the child has to be observed to see if they're really, really enjoying the sport or an instrument or dancing, or, you know, is there life there? Is it difficult for them? Are they struggling? When I first started, my parents wanted me to play the accordion. I hated the accordion, and I played anyway, and I really wanted to play the drums. So when I was 5 years old, because I started accordion lessons then, they said, okay, we're going to get your drum set too. So I played drums and it made me happy, and I played accordion and it made me sad. So here I am now in the St. Louis Symphony because ultimately I followed what was the passion that was in me, and I realized God gave me that creative spark, and I just followed that and ended up in the symphony.
How about you, Paula?
I grew up on a farm, and I didn't really hear an orchestra until I was in college. But I played the flute from a young age, and I loved it, and I was blessed, and God blessed what I did. And I didn't really know then, I didn't have any concept of what my life might be, other than that I wanted to teach, and I just did what my teacher said to do. I practiced, and God opened doors for me, and I never would have imagined in my life that I would be doing what I'm doing.
John just got back from Spain. In fact, that's why we waited till now to record the show.
Yes.
What was it like in Spain? What did you do?
Well, we had a concert tour with the symphony there and played four concerts. And it was a week. And during that time, we flew here and took a train there. And it was just barely getting enough time to enjoy the culture and the food and the people. But it was really a successful tour, and it was really thrilling to be able to share our gift around the world. And hopefully people were impressed enough to continue to seek out classical music.
To seek out classical music. Has it become more popular, less popular? Talk about that.
I think recently the use of the symphony being accompanying a film has become very popular. So we oftentimes, maybe five or six times a year, will play on a 32-foot screen a famous movie like Raiders of the Lost Ark. That was the last one we did. And the symphony plays the musical score live while this is being shown on this huge screen. And it's always packed out. And it has introduced people to how much classical music is involved in all the movies we see. We just never realized what it was. More and more people are coming to the symphony as a result of that experience watching the movies.
How much time do you have to practice between symphony tours? And if you get a piece of music, how many times do you have a chance to practice it before you really play it in front of the public?
If the piece is very difficult, it might take a year to learn. That's happened. And sometimes it's not going to take that long. But when we come to a rehearsal, we're not learning the piece at the rehearsal. Everyone is totally prepared. The first rehearsal sounds like a concert. It's amazing. It's the conductor's job to mold and shape and the interpretation of that music, and that's what the rehearsals are for. But all our practicing, it depends on the piece. If it takes hours and hours and hours and months to learn, so be it. And if it's not that hard, so be it. But it's everything in between. So the challenge is you have to know your learning curve and how much time you need to put in so that it's performable as soon as possible.
We talked about seeing what their kids' talents are. Maybe some parents are out there going, well, I don't even know where to start. I'm not musically inclined. How can I find out whether my child is musically inclined or whether we should go another avenue?
I think as a parent, you can do a sample. Like, you can call a teacher if they're interested in a particular instrument and just say, I'm not sure if my child is talented or if he's interested, but I would like to try this out. And most teachers will do like a sample lesson just to, first of all, see if they're compatible and then to see if there's musical ability there.
What do you think about starting a child out playing a piano before they play any other instruments?
It's good. It's good. That's the basic.
Okay, good. Because that's what I did with both my kids. I made them both take piano lessons. They hated me for it. But, you know, and I have two percussionists right now. So it did pay off. Well, actually, my son, we signed him up for band and wanted him to try instruments. And he agreed to play for 3 months in the band. He hated those 3 months. He played all the little different instruments, and he said, Mom, I've done it for 3 months. Now can I go do football? But then eventually he started playing the drums, and he's a very creative drummer today and plays on the praise team at church.
That's great.
And our daughter plays in the kids' praise team at church as well.
Yeah, all our kids think play percussion. They also think they can play piano, too. They've all had lessons to different degrees of performing, but they think they can do it. And it's good. They have some ability and they enjoy what they do.
One of the unique things that you started here in the Metro St. Louis is the Arts Fellowship. Talk about that.
Well, in 1984, the Lord impressed us about gathering Christian artists and keeping Jesus at the center of the meeting to talk about what it means to be a Christian in the arts. So we sent out an invitation to 13 different churches, all different denominations, said we were going to have a meeting, and lo and behold, 26 people showed up.
That we did not know.
That we didn't know. So some of the scriptures that came to mind to encourage us to start this meeting was the fact that the first mention of God in the Bible is creator. And the first mention of the Holy Spirit coming upon a person was on an artist. In Exodus 31, the artist's name was Bezalel, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And that word, filled him with the Spirit, actually means painted him or smeared him with the Spirit, and giving him wisdom and understanding in all kinds of skills and artistic development to be able to make the tabernacle in the wilderness. And now, as Christians, we have become the tabernacle. And so we realize that creativity and beauty and image-bearing is every Christian's call, and to be creative is being like their Heavenly Father. So not only artists come to our meetings, but non-artists come because of the ability to take something, apply diligence and discipline, and create something excellently is part of the testimony of the life of God in you. The second thing, what our meetings are about, is in 1 Corinthians 14:27. It talks about what to do when you gather. It says, when you gather, one has a teaching, one has a psalm, one has a hymn, one has a tongue, one has an interpretation. And it's the same thing in our meetings. When we gather, one has a dance, a poem, a song, a play, a piece to perform, a story or a photo. And each artist shares their particular art discipline, but also connects it to Scripture and connects it to their personal relationship with their Savior. And we found in 1 Samuel chapter 16, David is the prime example of what inspired us to have these meetings. And this is where King Saul, the Spirit of the Lord left him, and he was being tormented by an evil spirit. One of his men said, let's find someone who plays well the harp to soothe you. So one of the other servants said, there is a man, the son of Jesse of Bethlehem, who plays the harp well. He's a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well, and he's fine looking, and the Lord is with him. So he was a man of valor. He was brave. He was a mighty warrior, prudent in speech, and good-looking because the Lord was with him. Wow. And when he played the harp, the evil spirit would leave Saul. So those attributes of David are something we stress at the meetings to develop people in the ability to be warriors, to be brave, to be able to speak well, and also to be good-looking in their relationship with Jesus and each other.
And it doesn't matter how young or how old you are, you can always pick up a paintbrush or an instrument, can't
exactly.
you?
Exactly, exactly, yeah.
And God can continue to build your creativity as you reach out, trust Him, and are disciplined in what you practice. John and Paula Kasica have been my guests on today's edition of Encounter. I hope you've enjoyed this show as much as I've enjoyed interviewing these two wonderful, world-renowned musicians. And I hope that you will get in touch with them. Maybe you'd like to buy one of their CDs. Maybe you'd like to join Arts Fellowship. How can they contact you?
They can email me at johnkasica@gmail.com. John Kasica, JohnKasica, @gmail.com.
Thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you, Judy.
You're welcome.
It's been great.
Thank you for having us.
And if you like this Encounter show, I'd like to hear from you. You can get in touch with me at jredlickspeaks@gmail.com. And here are a few ruffles and flourishes straight from Civil War times, played by John and Paula Kasica, to end out this show. Until next time, I'm Judy Redlick. This is Encounter.
Encounter is you and the issues, where the facts and opinions make you an informed citizen of St. Louis. Thank you for your participation. Let a friend know about this talk and issues feature of Bot Radio Network and KSIV. Then join us next time for Encounter.